chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 14 to chapter 8, verse 3. I'll take that again. Romans chapter 7, verse 14 to chapter 8, verse 3. I will read it. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. 16. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but the Son that dwells within me. 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, but I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it. 19. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. 21. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being. But I see in my members any law, another law, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. 24. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Chapter 8, verse 1 then reads, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Verse 3 then reads, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Morning, church.
Morning.
It's quite a great thing to be before the Lord this morning, and also a pleasure and all humility to stand for God's children this morning, for us to share with ourselves the song that we have entitled, Who Am I? Who are you? You know, most times it's always like the first question you ask anyone you see for the first time. Who are you? Most interviews, of course, we all know the first question always go with, tell us who you are, let us meet you, who are you? And in most cases, it's been known that what defines any individual is knowing who such an individual is. I recall back then when I was still very young, myself and my brother, there was this English this movie, The Prince and the Pauper. You know, we see how the book was more of The Prince and the Pauper. We look so much alike, and the prince was looking for an adventure. He saw the pauper and he felt, okay, let's just switch places for a day. I don't become like a pauper, you come over and become like a prince, you know, and how do you think turned out eventually? Making one at the end of that movie to understand that once a pauper, always a pauper, once a prince, always a prince. From the reading that we had, Romans chapter 7 from verse 14, straight down to Romans chapter 8, verse 3. The Apostle Paul made an illustration about the dual personality that he carried. Now, this brings me to a story being told by a Cherokee warrior. A young general of the Cherokee tribe, the Red Indians, went to meet the chief of the village. And he went to him and he said, "Look, I want to be a great soldier, even though I'm still a general, but I still feel like I can still achieve more. What are the things that you, what advice do you have as a chief for me to be great in life?" And the chief told him, he said, "One thing that will make you great in life is to know who you are." And he said, "Of course I know who I am. I'm a soldier." He said, "No, you still don't know who you are." And he told him a story. He said, "Listen, every man, every individual has got two wolves in him. Two wolves. One of the wolves always goes with white eyeballs, and the other wolf always goes with a red eyeball. Now, he said the wolf with the white eyeball always goes with courage in one individual. Because it has courage, it has love, joy, forgiveness, peace, contentment. He said in the same man, you have the second wolf that has a red eye. The wolf with the red eye goes with fear. And because it carries fear, it goes with anger, resentment, guilt, shame, and all the negative emotions you can imagine. So these two wolves dwells in every man. Which of the wolves dominates depends on which of the wolves such an individual feeds. And which of the wolves gets dormant depends on which of the wolves you starve." And so the young soldier asked the chief, said, "So, which of these wolves do you think lives in me?" He said, "It depends on which of the wolves you feed." So, what this means, comparing to the text we just read, in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, down to Romans chapter 8, verse 3, where Paul, Apostle Paul, made it known that, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not know what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see it in my members, another law waging against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." And so we can understand why Paul said, "What wretched man I am." And of course, most times we see ourselves depicted in this same picture, doing things that you don't really want to do. You know, sometimes you just fall into, just get overtaken by thought, like, "I just did that. I didn't really want to do that." And sometimes you might just have the desire to do something good within you, but you know, you stall and stall and stall, and you're like, "Oh, I'm supposed to have done that, but oh." And that's exactly what. So the question you ask yourself is who truly you are. Now, taking further in chapter 8, and this is it, precisely where we're landing. Verse 1. There is therefore, I recall Brother Gary keeps telling us what therefore means each time. Therefore means based on these premises that we've had. So based on what we've read about the nature of man, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So, when we relate this back, I recall in the last sermon when Brother George took us, emphasizing more about the nature that we have as man. We have the spirit and we have the flesh. Two personalities in us. Just like the Cherokee chief that was sending young warrior. And so the spirit being in us makes us to be spiritual. But we still have the flesh. Now, these two are two different personalities, like what Paul was trying to depict in chapter 7 in the book of Romans. But what we need to really come to terms with is you need to understand who you are. And so that defines which of these personalities that will grow within you and which of them will go dormant. Incidentally, none of them dies off. They still remain because you are made up of that component. So the question we ask ourselves is, how do we know our identity? How do I know who I am? Because it's the first step of knowing how you're going to live your life. Most people don't even care. I mean, anything goes. I'm answerable to no one. I don't care what anyone says about me. I was having a talk with a friend some time ago, and he said, if anyone says such, then it means, well, you don't really care about your reputation. Because even Christ himself asked his apostles, said, who do men say I am? That means there's still this care to know what people's perception about him was. And that's the reason why the scriptures also make us to understand that it is not in a man to direct his own steps. So we are being guided, of course, by norms. But these norms are norms that are in accordance to the scriptures. So knowing who we are means that we need to identify ourselves to know what truly our purpose in life is. It's your choice. It's a decision. For every individual is a product of their choices. You are who you are today based on the choices you've made. And on the last day, we are all going to stand to give account of how we have made those choices. Either by what we do, what we say, or even what we think about. And so, in bringing ourselves in alignment, is for us to decide who we really want to be. Do we really want to be in line with the Spirit, according to the book of Romans chapter 8? Or we want the flesh to take over? Now, if you want to be in alignment with the Spirit, good. So it means that we need to acknowledge God. In the book of Psalms 46, verse 10, he says, be still and know that I am God. So part of the things that help us identify ourselves to be spiritual is for us to identify and to know who God really is. But you know, a troublesome mind and a heart that is filled with fear, guilt, resentment, and all sorts, the works of the flesh, cannot come to this term to be still. The book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, made us to understand those things that are of the fruits of the flesh. And as long as anyone is living in accordance with the fruits of those flesh, then such a one is under the captivity of sin. But the fruit of the Spirit, from verse 22 down to 23, those are the things that use of the Spirit within us. And so, how do we get this done? The book of Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. You know, when Christ was talking to, was preaching, and after his encounter with the woman of Samaria, she went in, called the people, and they all came, the crowd gathered, and Christ preached unto them. And several other things that went on thereafter, and then he fed the 5,000, and people came to him because they were fed. And so when Christ finished the teaching, of course, he came in with the true word. And the scriptures would just understand that many left because they were like, hey, he was talking about his flesh being bread and his blood being wine. I mean, we're not cannibals. So many left, even the disciples. Even many of the disciples, save for the apostles. And of course, we know when to ask the question. You know, and the apostles said, to whom shall we go? You don't have the word of eternal life. And in verse 63 of that John chapter 6, he made them to understand. He said, the word that I speak unto you, of course, is the Spirit that quickens. He said, the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so, for us to be able to build our identity in Christ is for us to have the Spirit. But having the Spirit of Christ in us means that we need to put certain actions in place. And so in 1 Corinthians, as I mentioned earlier, chapter 2 from verse 10 to 14, says, God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thought of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given unto us by God. And so, the identity that God wants us to have is that of his own nature. He wants to have his Spirit in us. So, brethren, this morning, as we all are seated, you ask yourself the question, who am I? Am I of the flesh and allowing the things of this world to rule my heart? Fear, like I talked about the wolf from the story of the Cherokee chief. Anger, resentment, malice, unforgiveness, doubt, guilt, shame. Of course, those are the characteristics that goes with the flesh. And you know, those things, they come by default. Going by default, you don't work hard to get angry. It comes in because it is the nature of the flesh. You don't struggle with the lies sometimes because it's the nature of the flesh. But that is the things, those are the things that goes with the flesh. Or are you identifying yourself with the Spirit, having the mind of God and allowing the Spirit of God to rule in you? Love, joy, peace, like the wolf with a white eye. So these are the things that you need to ask yourself this morning. And it's also, again, very important for us to note that when Christ comes, because Christ is coming, when he comes, he's only going to take those that have his spirit in him. Those that he has identified as having his own form. Because here on earth, having fellowship with him, we'll read through chapter 8 of Romans, that he has adopted us as his own children. But we can only become his children when we have his spirit in us. And so this morning, if you're here also and you're here to have his spirit, or maybe perhaps you are in doubt if the spirit is in you, then you need to go through the scriptures and allow the scriptures to inform you who you truly are. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, I'm just trying to get that. That's the 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. For me, I keep saying it's always a very thought-provoking passage to me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8.
So that you were enslaved to all that live in Macedonia and Achaia. And for from you sounded out the word of the Lord not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place of faith to God. God's word is.
No, second.
This is the chapter 1, verse 7. And give me to you
yes.
You are troubled, yes. And to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus.
Thank you very much, Kerry. Now, this is just the end game of our identity. When Christ returns, again, he's not going to return back to heal the sick, that is going to come back to raise the dead. But it's going to come back to those who have identified themselves with him. And he says that, of course, it's going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance against those that do not know God. And for those who have not obeyed his gospel. You do not know God when you do not have his spirit. Recall in the story of the when Christ talked about the last day, those that will be on the right and those that will be on the left. Remember, he says to those on the right, of course, we know the story. Come unto me, you blessed my father. I was sick, you visited me, you know all the characteristics. Then those on the left, and they said, well, when? Now look at the pronouncement. But again, understanding this, that not all that says unto me, Lord, Lord. You know, sometimes here we use this to those who are outside, but even to us here in the home. For those who do what? The will of my Father, which is in heaven. And those are the people that have the Spirit in him. But most unfortunately as well, for those who have not obeyed his gospel, and what is the gospel of Christ, it's for us to understand how his death, his burial, and his resurrection will make us saved. And how is it possible that we hear the word? We believe the word. We repent of our sins, confess Christ, and then be baptized. When we are baptized, according to the book of Romans chapter 3, we are baptized by burial and immersion. So we also have been buried with Christ, being raised up to walk with him in newness of life. But note very importantly that we are also baptized into his body, which is the church. And the church is not just a vacuum, but the body of Christ. As we are baptized into his body, we now walk in newness of life with his spirit in us. But of course, the spirit has to grow. And so we need to feed the spirit with his word. And then you will know who you truly are. So, brethren, in conclusion this morning, it's very important for me as an individual to walk daily knowing who I am. It takes work for us to be able to allow the Spirit of God in us to grow. Because we are not just flesh, we are not just spirit, but we have these two in us. So knowing who and which one takes dominance is knowing which one that we feed. And feeding the Spirit means that we feed the Spirit with the Word of God. Because that is the food of the Spirit, and by that we grow. But when we do otherwise, then the Spirit diminishes, and then the flesh grows, and then the flesh takes dominance. So in all we pray that the good Lord will help us as Christians to be able to identify who we are in Him. So that at the end, when He comes, He will identify Himself with us as well. This we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.